We're up to Perek Vav, Perek Vav Pasek. Yudalit. Perek Vav Pasek Yudalit Lamas Mireyu Chosed Vira Shaka Yazov. Iyuv says to his friends that by not coming to my assistance, not giving me comfort, Pasuk Yudal is the continuation of Pasuk Yud Gimel. He's complaining that the very least you can do for me is be sympathetic and lend your ear and be for me. Give me some words of comfort. And instead, Eliphaz and my the other friends, you're not coming to give me comfort. Instead, you're coming to criticize me. You're coming to rebuke me. So by doing so, Lomas Mireyehu, your behavior is such that you are denying lamas meiru chas. When the person denies from his friend kindness, the yira shaka yazov, and that causes the fear of heaven to be abandoned. Let's take a look at the mitzvah stav and how he explains in more detail. Pasuk gidal lamas hayitochin. Can it really be asher lohoish shenomas besarai migodel hamichov, that a person whose flesh melts? So according to the mitzvah, he does not translate Pasuk Yudalit. Yudalit. Perek Vav Pasuk Yudalit. So I already told you the parish of Rashi. Rashi learns Lamas means to deny, to withhold. And the Mitzudos does not learn in that fashion. He learns what Lamas means to melt. That he's saying about himself, my flesh has melted away. I'm nothing but a skeleton. So how can you be so cruel to a man who suffers to such a degree? Hayitochin asher lo ish shenamas besor migod lamichin, be to a person whose flesh has melted due to the intense pain, yeh lo yod cherpa mireyehu, shall suffer more disgrace from his friends, v'yazov, can it be mireyehu chosed, that he shall discover that from his friends he shall... Now, chosed is translating here as disgrace. Okay, it's disgrace. Where do we find it? Where do we find an example? We find this by the parsha of Arayos. We find that if a man has relations with his sister, chesed hu. Okay, so chesed hu, we find the word chesed sometimes does not refer to kindness, but refers to disgrace.
It's like said that the extreme of chesed leads to Arayos. It's not clear.
Anything that is an extreme spins around to the other direction.
Good meaning and bad meaning.
Exactly. Every single word can be interpreted in the extremes. Yishrosh, yisharesh, to take root and to uproot. So chesdia means as well. So here, according to Rashi, lamas means to melt. Chosa means disgrace. His statement is that is it proper that a person who's melting away and suffering, mireyehu chosed, shall now also suffer the insult that his friends heap upon him, disgrace? Okay, one more time. He has to also discover disgrace, chesed, period. Then the second part of the pasuk says, the yaz of yira shakai, and by doing so you're causing me to abandon the fear of heaven. Ki haloi in pachad l'kim l'neged enov, loimar, haloi dai loi b'hamichav v'loma od aknito. Person who behaves in such a fashion has no yira shamayim. He has no fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say that in pachad l'kim l'neged enov, loimar, haloi dai loi b'hamichav. It's enough. Wait, sorry. The yaz of yiras hashakai.
The guy who suffers.
Yeah.
Has no yiras Hashem.
The yaz of yiras shakaki haloi ein pachad elokim l'neged enov.
Loimar.
Haloi dai loi b'hamichav.
You had enough suffering, but he doesn't have any rachman or something.
V'loma oid aknito. Why should I continue to anger you? Cannot
make him make this. Why are you giving more of telling stories of Musa to the guy who's already suffering? You have no You have no Yerushada.
Okay, you have no Yerushalayim. Your behavior shows that you have no Yerushalayim. To take a victim, someone like me, whose mass, whose skin has melted away, and now to heap upon me disgrace, it goes to show that the Yerushalayim has left you, and you're a very wicked person. This is the interpretation of the mitzvah. So let's go to Rashi. Rashi, lamas mirchos, a very different interpretation. Lamish shemoneh chesed. So there are two things which Rashi disagrees with the mitzvah. Number one is lamas does not mean the person who's melting away, but rather lamas means to deny. And chesed does not mean disgrace, it means kindness. And this context, it means your behavior, the way you're treating me, you're denying what I rightfully deserve. I deserve chesed. A person in my situation deserves some comfort. And your behavior is denying me that comfort. Chesed mechavera, a person that has been denied kindness from his friend. The halame, the word of the lam of lamos, is mishameshesh kumo larav, letzav, lashav. Period. It's a letter which is a prefix. Mas gamu lashon poyel. The word mas is a verb.
What was the hypothesis that it was part of the shoresh? Meaning what?
Yeah, possibly lamas would mean lamas. Yeah, possibly. We don't know what the word is.
What mas means.
What does it mean? Mas. That's the question. We don't know what it means.
The shoresh of melted.
No, that's according to the Mitsudos. That's according to the Mitsudos. The Mitsudos takes the word lamar.
I'm trying to figure out.
Right. No, so it's no. It does not seem.
No, it
does not seem that the lamed, even according to the Mitsudos, is part of the sharish. Even according to the Mitsudos, the lamed is also a prefix. The word mas means to melt, according to the Mitsudos. According to Rashi, it means to deny. It doesn't seem that's the point of disagreement between Rashi and the Mitsudos. Everyone agrees the lamed is just being mishamish. Mas, yeah, okay.
Okay. Right. So that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Just because Rashi, I guess he wants. He's explaining what the word means. That's very common in these psukim that we've had so far in Rashi. Rashi goes through in very great detail to try to define the shorish of the word.
The Targum said the same meanings.
Okay, mas gam hu lashon poel. Mas is a verb. Kmo ba shav god. Gam el lashon oise lamas. Hachesed mechale oiso. The chesed is being kmo v'cham hashemesh v'namas. The chesed is causing him to melt. Okay, seemingly over here, Rashi over here is giving another interpretation. Okay, if I'm not mistaken, Rashi is giving another interpretation that the chesed lamas meireu chesed, chesed mechale oso. The chesed finishes him off. So I don't know. Maybe Rashi in this interpretation is learning like the Mitsudos. Then in this interpretation is subsimilar to the Mitsudos. Yeah.
What was this first interpretation of lamas?
The first interpretation is to deny. To deny. Lamisha moinea. Moinea means to withhold.
You're saying it's a verb.
To withhold.
Normally a noun, but here it's a verb.
No, not normally a noun. Why normally a noun? To withhold. Why is it normally a noun? Here, according to Rashi's interpretation, lamas. What? Why is it normally a noun? It doesn't say that. Rashi never said that. Rashi just says in his first. He says the word lamas means to deny, limoinea, to withhold, meireu from your friend, chosed, kindness. Eov is complaining to Eliphaz, you are denying me comfort. Pasuk Yud Aleph is a continuation of Pasuk Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel says, "Im ein Ezra Sivi, is there no one here to assist me? I am vulnerable. I need someone to give me comfort. Is there no one that's available to give me comfort? Your behavior is denying the chesed, the kindness that I need at this moment in time." That is Rashi's first interpretation. Rashi's second interpretation seems to be similar to the Mitsudos, but a little bit different. Lamas means mere'eru chosed, your disgrace. Let's assume that Rashi in the second interpretation learns chosed to mean disgrace. The disgrace that you're heaping upon me is causing me to melt away, to wither away. It's like the continuation we learned yesterday, that it's bad enough. I have to suffer the pain of my afflictions, but do I also have to suffer the insult, your insults? The insults that you're heaping upon me is causing me to further melt and decay. That's what Rashi seems to be saying in the second interpretation. Ha-chesed mechale oso. The kindness, which in this context maybe means chesed hu, like the mitzudos, disgrace, is causing him to wither away. Kemo, v'cham.
Chesed you're doing in saying all these things to me, you think that's chesed?
Yeah.
It's disgrace. Right. It's like, not disgrace. Okay, it's a play on the words.
You're chesed, quote unquote, with, meaning the opposite.
With friends like this, you don't need enemies. The chesed nechala sokmo v'cham hashemesh v'namos. So it's very clear that here in this interpretation of Rashi, the word namos means to melt, similar to the interpretation of the mitzudos David. And then the U.S. Hashaka Yazov, which means either, that is like according to the mitzudos, that you are a person that has demonstrated that you have a lack of Yirah Shemayim. Okay, this is the simple interpretation. There are three midrashim. It's really not midrashim, it's a gemara. One is a gemara, two are gemaras, he presents over here, and one is a medrash. The first is a gemara mesech de Shabbos, popular gemara. I'll read you the words inside. Omar Rav Kahana, Omar Rav Shimon Lakish, the Amrila, Omar Rav Asi, Omar Rav Shimon Lakish, Amrila, Omar Rav Abba, Omar Rav Shimon Lakish, Kol HaMegadel Kelev Rav Besoch Beso, Moinea Chesed Mitoch Beso. It's clear as day from the Gemara, the word Lomas means to withhold. Limnoya, Chesed means kindness, and we're referring specifically to raising a dog, a Kelev Ra. So you deny kindness. Why? The anim, the poor people, are afraid to approach your home. When the collectors come banging on the door for a dollar and they hear the dog barking, they run for their lives. So what has occurred? You, who is the one that has lost out? You, the balabayis. If you would have given this poor man, this collector, a dollar, you would be zeichet to olam hawa. You would have done a mitzvah of tzedakah. You have no idea what schus that is to give someone, to give a poor person a dollar. By having in your home a kelev ra, the kelev ra prevents the poor man from coming near your home. You've denied, you have withheld kindness from your home. That's what the Gemara says. Lomas meri'eyu chosed, you have denied from your friend kindness by raising in your home a dog. How do we know that? What?
Is the kelev tov allowed?
Well, it depends. Obviously, it depends. Now, some people are afraid of little puppies, right? Even
no,
a little.
Jewish kid is permitted to have.
Are you allowed to have? The Gemara says you're not allowed to have.
No, it's just wrong. The
Gemara says you're not allowed to have.
They used to have for protection purposes. With security reasons, but the derech klal is a kelev ra and there's not a kelev ra. Today probably we wouldn't consider most dogs a kelev ra. Maybe a pit bull would be a kelev ra. Well, if you have a very large dangerous dog that would scare people, that would be called a kelev ra. Okay, now the Gemara goes further. The Gemara says shekem loshen yuvan is kind of, why in the world would you interpret the word lamas? Lamas means to withhold. Where in the world do you see that in this pasuk there is a remez that the problem here is raising a kelev ra? So the Gemara says in Greek, the loshen yuvan is currently kelev lamas. In Greek, a dog is called lamos. Did you ever hear this? You have a Greek dictionary?
Lupus is a wolf.
Lamos. Lamos. Okay, the next thing it goes on to say is Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, not only, then there are, the Gemara goes further, not only, because so there's a play on the words. On the one hand, Lefi Pshuta Lamas means to withhold. But since Lamas also means a dog, so we make a drasha, the case is having a Keller Abzach Beis, so you're denying kindness from your home. The other interpretation, then the Gemara goes on furthermore, not only that, you also lose out on Yirah Shemayim. Af Perek Mimenu HaKelev Hara Yirah Shemayim. A Kelev Ra, an evil dog, caused the person to lose his Yirah Shemayim. Now there are many interpretations of what exactly the Gemara means. Simply means by not giving tzedakah, when you're in the custom of giving tzedakah, Mimela, you become a Yirah Shemayim. When you get into the habit of not giving tzedakah, the potential for Yirah Shemayim is lost from you. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is a Kelev is the worst midos possible. Why? Because a kelev is man's best friend. A kelev is, this is a Kabbalistic concept. Every creature in this world has some sense that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. Human beings certainly, deep down subconsciously recognizes that there's a creator. Okay, he may be in denial. He may be an atheist. He may be a kofer. Maybe not with the Zara. But subconsciously, a person has a sense that there is a creator, and the person always has that guilt, that conscious, that guilty conscious that he's not serving Kadosh Baruch Hu. The same way that is true for men, and we all sense that, so too when it comes for creatures, whether it's an elephant, a giraffe, a lion, a fish, every single creature in this world has a sense, a sixth sense, that there is a creator. The one that is the least on the scale of creatures, of sensing the Ribbono Shel Olam, the one that is the least is a dog. A dog has the least sensitivity to the Ribbono Shel Olam. What's the proof? The proof is the dog is man's best friend. The dog thinks that man is God. Why does a dog, why is a dog so loyal to a human being?
You know the dog backwards is God, right?
Oh. I don't know that. Why is a dog so loyal to a human why is a dog so loyal to a human being? Because a dog thinks that man is God. Every creature has no respect. Right? When was the last time a cat showed you respect? Doesn't show respect. Or the creatures. They don't have respect. Why? Because they sense you know better than me. We're all in the same game. There's a creator, and you're just a servant of Hashem. I'm a servant of Hashem. So the creature says, why should I respect a human being? A cow looks at a person. Why should I have any respect for you? Just because you speak, you behave the way that I behave. So, you know, yeah.
Shouldn't you say the opposite?
Yeah.
The dogs didn't bark, and you'd see us
running. That was the gallus. The gallus was that...
That's the one
the
that they get impressed. Generally, they get very bad.
That was the exception. That was part of the chiddush, is that the intensity, I think that's what that you take that fits very well into this chazal. This idea is the intensity of the Gilu Shechinah was so great, even the dog recognized there was an HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gilu Shechinah. The Gilui Shechina was so intense, even the creature that is the most distant from recognizing there is a creator, on this night, recognized there's not Kadosh Baruch Hu. And they were silent. So Adarab, it fits very well into this theme. Because normally a dog, I don't sense there's a God. So who is in charge? Who's in charge? Man is in charge. The dog is loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person lives with dogs, you ever see today? And I went to yeshiva, there was a guy walking, he had three dogs. One was not enough. He had this dog who was kemat the size of a horse. And then next to that dog, there was another two dogs. And I crossed the street, and he gives me a dirty look. Why are you crossing the street just because I have three dogs? So I said, I'm not crossing the street because of the three, I'm crossing because of the fourth. Ooh, nasty, huh? Okay, why does he have to have so many dogs? What? You can have dogs. Who's holding is a free country? There are more dogs in this neighborhood than there are people. You could have a dog. You could have a dog. Many people have dogs, but you shouldn't have a kelev ra. Chazal say lo yigad al mesech beis a kelev ra. Kelev ra means a vicious attack dog.
Okay. People have dogs because of that, Myla, that it's a vicious attack.
They want security. They want security. Okay, they want security. Okay, so it's not clear what the Gemara means. The Gemara says, Lamas means a dog. And the Gemara interprets that having a dog, you're withholding kindness. Simply because you're not going to give tzedakah. You're going to deny the anim from giving that. So when a person's not going to give tzedakah, he's going to get into a bad habit, and he's going to lack Yirah Shemayim. On a deeper level, it means if you hang out with creatures that have no sense of Yirah Shemayim, it's going to rub off on you. A dog, we don't realize, we're influenced by our environment. And even dogs, even the midos, the bad midos of animals, also to some degree have a trickle-down effect on us. If you live your whole life with dogs, and dogs are the least sensitive to spirituality, that that has a roshim on a human being, on a person. And also he comes to a point where he also lacks a degree of yirah shemayim. That's exactly what it says here in this pasuk. The pasuk says, Lomas, Meri Eyu Chosed, the yiras Hashem, the Yashvir Shaka Yazov. It will ultimately lead to a lack of yirah Hashem. This is a Gemara, Beferish Gemara Mesechta, Shabbos, Taf, Samach, Gimel. Then the Gemara goes on, the Gemara, I don't know the connection, the Gemara just goes on to talk about a situation where there was a woman that was pregnant. And she was passing, walking down the block, and the Balabais, her next door neighbor, the neighbor on the block, had a vicious attack dog. And as she passed, the dog barked. You know, that happens to you when you pass by, and you get all of a sudden you're shaken up, unexpected, a loud, vicious bark from a dog behind the fence. So that's what happened to this woman, and she was pregnant. And at that moment in time, she had a miscarriage. Now, it doesn't mean the baby did not yet come out of the womb, but the baby was dislodged. The process of the miscarriage began due to the fear, due to the sudden shock of hearing this vicious dog bark. So the Balabais saw this woman was startled, and he said to her, Miss So-and-so, don't be afraid. We've moved from the dog, its teeth, its molars, whatever it is, and it's not going to attack you. So she said, too little, too late. Too little, too late. The baby already in my womb already has been nekar, and I'm going to have a miscarriage. So you see over here the danger that not only is having a dog deny chesed, but having a dog also can lead, Rahman al-Islam, the Gemara gives an example, to the loss of a child. Okay, then the Gemara, the second interpretation of the Gemara, another example that's given, this Gemara, Mishachlik Subis, if you have a student, and the student wants to be Meshamesh the Rebbe, you have a real Rebbe, and the Rebbe has a Talmud, it's a good Talmud, the Talmud wants to assist, wants to help the Rebbe, and the Rebbe says, no, I don't want your help, I don't want you to be with me, you're denying from your student kindness, yirah shamayim. A Rebbe has a duty to teach his students not just Torah, but to teach them how to live, to teach them midos tovos, and that requires the Rebbe to allow the student to assist him, to be mishamish him, to participate, to live with him. And denying your student the ability to see you in action is denying your student kindness, and the kindness here is teaching him yirah shamayim. A third interpretation in Gemara, this is a medrash, this is not a Gemara, and it's a famous Gemara that the Gemara interprets this pasuk with reference to Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov met Esav came to Yaakov with 400 men. Yaakov was terrified. He sent Esav a gift. He was mispalo. He divided his family, and he took extreme measures. He had a daughter, Dina. Dina was obviously a very attractive young woman, and he was afraid if Esav would see Dina, Esav would want to take Dina for himself. So what did Yaakov do? He put Dina in a box. He put her in a box. And Chazal say that that was a mistake. Now it's not. What do you mean that was a mistake? It's
Rashi
not.
Rashi also says he put her in a box.
Esav should not see her. If Esav would see her, he was afraid he would want to marry her. So what would be so bad? Maybe it would have been a good thing for Esav to marry Dina, because Dina would have turned him in. He would have been a tzaddik. Would have not turned him into Klai Yisrael. The whole world today would have been different. In a different world, had Dina married Esav.
So a lot of the girls' schools learned from Yaakov.
They were close. She was cloister. She was.
They
followed the meat of Yaakov to lock up the girls in the box. Okay, I was mechavin to you, Vart.
Some of the great.
You're having influence on me. You're brainwashing me. Yeah.
Unfortunately, some of great ladies, men of El. Father, they make a lot of problem for us. Sarah invited to be our God.
Yeah.
Yitzhak. This.
Okay. Yaakov, so Chazal interpret this in Pasuk in reference to Yaakov. Yaakov was denied. Yaakov was Lomas Meri Eyu Choset. Okay, who's his friend? His friend is Esav. What's the Choset? A good Shidduch. The ultimate chesed you can do for a person is to provide them with a good shidduch. He denied the shidduch for, and Mimela, what happened? The Yira Shaka Yazov, and because of that, Esav lost his potential for Yirah Shamayim. Dina could have turned him around. How was Yaakov punished? What does the marriage conclude? Hashem said, okay, so you don't want to give him to Esav, your own brother? She'll be taken by an orel, by a person that's not even circumcised. Shechem, the son of Hamor, took and raped Dina. That was the punishment for Yaakov not giving Dina to Esav.
The way it's put is, lo bikashua hasiyot lemahul,
you refuse to give in to okay. Okay, so it's pretty scary stuff. I'll read you the words. Notal Yaakov Dina unesana b'teva. He put him in a box. Shlo yire oisa esav yitul oisa liisha amalai kadosh baruch hu. Chosachta oisa mimenu. You don't want to give her to your brother as a wife. Chayecha, I swear by your life, lo odom orel hi misukenes.
You had the same story with Avraham and Timna.
Oh, yeah, the same story, exactly. Timna wanted to marry. Who did she want to marry?
Well,
I think she wanted to be
into Yaakov's family.
Into his family. So Yaakov, he pushed her away with shtei odayim. So she became. He wanted to marry one of Yaakov's daughters. Yaakov, besides Dina, Yaakov, I wanted to marry one of his sons, and Yaakov pushed away with shtei odayim. So she went to Esav, and she became to Esav as a pilegesh. It's kedai to be a pilegesh in the home of a descendant of Avraham Avinu, then to be married to a prince from the Umos Olam, and from that unfortunately came Eliphaz, right? Eliphaz over here now Sefer, and came Amalek. Okay, so that's a very interesting point. Same exact idea. Okay, so we have three Mamori Chazal. We have the dog Lamas, the dog. The Mamori Chazal of a Rebbe. If a Rebbe denies. A chesed from his Talmud, and the chesed is in order that the Talmud should be mishamesh the Rebbe. And the third interpretation is in reference to Yaakov and Dina. And besides the Midrashim, that Midrash really works with the interpretation. Chesed means kindness, and lomas means to deny. Whereas according to the Mitzudos, lomas means to melt away, and chosed means disgrace. The disgrace that you're heaping upon me is causing me to melt away. Okay, let's now go to Pasuk Tes Vav. Achai bogdu kmo nochal ka'afik necholim yavaru. Now here, now Eliphaz now, Eov now goes through a series of psukim where he compares his friends to a stream of water. Let's discuss the theme outside, then we'll read the psukim inside. That in the winter time, it snows quite a bit. And when after it snows, the water sometimes melts, sometimes does not melt, but it forms ice. And on top of the mountains, it turns into black ice. There's mud. The mud is black, obviously. It's water, there's snow, and it turns into black ice. Then comes the spring. And then the ice begins to melt. The snow begins to melt. It begins to flow. As it begins to flow, the waters, unfortunately, they rarely flow into rivers. If water would flow into one, all the water would come together and flow into a river. The drops of water would be mechazek one another, and they would not evaporate so quickly. But because the waters just flow freely down the slope of the mountain, most of the water, or a significant amount of the water that melts from the snow and ice, go in their own way. And when they go in their own way, eventually they dry up. And then when a person comes to the bottom of the mountain in the hot summer and is thirsty and is dying of thirst and he wants some of that water from the ice that melted from the spring and the summer from the winter, it's not to be found. So he accuses the waters of not being loyal, of denying the good that they should have provided for man. Eov says, that's exactly what you like, my friends. You like a supply of water that goes their own way and dries up, and then when I am thirsty and I need your help, your assistance, your comfort, you're not to be found, you have evaporated. you're evaporated and your waters are false. Let's see, Achai, my brethren. He's now addressing his three friends. Seemingly they're all together, even though the one that was speaking until now was Eliphaz. Bogdu, you have rebelled against me. You have not been faithful, you have betrayed me. You have not been faithful by giving me comfort. Instead you criticize me. Kumo nohal, like a stream dries up. He's going to elaborate next week. Sukim, ka'apik, like necholim, like
a stream,
necholim yalvaru, you are a flow of water. Apik means a flow of nechom. Kapik necholim. Nachal is a stream. Apik means a flowing stream. Kapik necholim yavar, like a flowing stream that just disappears, evaporates, and is nowhere to be found. Let's look at the Mitzvah's Pasuk Tezayin Tezvav. Achai, Re'ai, Bogdubi, my friends have betrayed me. Kmo nachal, like a stream. Asher yarbe liv goid ba'anoshav. Most streams that flow down the mountain are betray mankind. Kapik, kizerem necholim. Kapik means of that flow, of a flowing stream. Asher yavoiru, mimukoimam, v'yelchu lohem, and disappears. V'chofol hadavar b'milois shaynois, and this theme is repeated with different words, which is repetition. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi, achai. Bnei Militzasi, the people here are coming to give me advice. Bogdubi, kmo hanachal abogid begidois, like a stream which betrays people. Kmo shemefarish bini, like the pots is going on to explain now in the next few psukim. Kaapik necholim, kmoitzi necholim, yavoru. I don't know what that word means. Mimidis nechoychois vereus vuhu hihi begidos shol nachal. Is there no?
Mimidos.
Yes, mimidos.
Nechoynois, from proper conduct. Mimidos nechoychois vereus umahi begidosa shol nachal. What is, okay, I don't know what it means. Well, so let's read the sukkim. So he goes on, apostle tezayin. Hakoidrim mini korach. Koidrim means they're blackened. They're blackened, meaning from, koidrim means to be blackened, from the black ice.
The bottom of the pot.
That means when it rains in the winter, when it snows in the winter, the earth becomes muddy. And then when it gets cold, it turns into ice. Being that the liquid, the rainwater and the snow is mixed with mud, it's black ice and has the appearance of blackness. That's called koidrim. Mine korach, from ice.
Or from lack of frost.
Korach, I think it means ice. Hua galid. Hanikba mehakor, it's ice. Hanikba, that's frozen mehakor, kama mashlech karchel kefin, we say davening, Hashem sends down ice like little pieces. Alemo, upon this ice, yis alem sholek. Snow disappears. Now, I don't know what the mitzvah is. I'm not familiar with this mitzvah, but it appears that when there's mud, when there's black ice on top of the mountains, and it begins to snow, you'd expect the snow would cover the black ice. It would make it nice and pretty, nice and white. No. The snow is muddy. It's a muddy type of ice. And when the beautiful white snow makes contact with the ice, the snow disappears. The snow melts and also turns black. So he's describing the mitzvahs of what the ice looks like when it starts off on the top of the mountain. Let's see the mitzvahs. David Pasuk Tezayin, Hakoidrim, Ki Ancholim Hakoidrim, Mehascholasi Meakerech, He Ace Ki Yirbub Meinacholim. The streams which are blackened from the beginning of their formation, when they are in the state of ice, he ace this the time ki yibu me hanecholim, when the waters are many, the yachshechu hanecholim, and the necholim become darkened me roiv oimek hamayim, due to the depth, the deepness of the water, the ashelik hayer hanecholim haheim, and the snow that falls upon these streams misaleimu mischasebohem disappears le roiv oimkom, due to the depth, the chash chusam, and their dark color. So he's describing the source of the stream. The source of the stream is black ice. Snow is falling. The snow is disappearing in the depth of these black streams. Now what happens? So one more topic before the pasuk. Hakoidrim mine karach, the streams that are darkened from ice, Olemo upon them yis alem sholek, snow disappears. Pasuk yitzayin, the ace yizorvu nitzmasu. When it becomes spring and summer and they melt and they begin to flow, nitzmasu, they disappear. They wither away. They wither away in the heat. Bichumo, in its heat, nidachu mimukoimam, they are pulverized from their place. It's an expression which means they completely disappear. Pasuk yitzayin in the Mesudos. The ace, at the time yizorvu, bimei hakayitz, the ace yischamamu, in the summertime, when they get hot, nichrasu mimukoimam, they are cut off from their source, the einam, and they disappear. Why are they cut off and why do they disappear? Ki nisyavshu hanachom, they dry up, the streams dry up. Bichomo, what does it mean then when it says in the pasuk, bichomo in its heat, nidachu, they are crushed, mimukoimam, bizman she yichumu, at the time when they become hot, nikpitsu mimukoimam, they are cut off from their place, and the pasuk is repeating itself with multiple words, which mean exactly the same thing. Okay, let's see pasuk yitches. Yilovsu orochos darkam. Yilovsu means they are crooked. Okay, yilovsu orochos darkam. They embrace, or we should say, they embrace themselves. Orochos darkam. They travel on a crooked road. Okay, yilovsu literally means achiza, they take hold. The streams that flow down the mountain take hold of their own ways. Yalu vatohu, they go up, they descend into nothingness. Viyoyvedu, and they are destroyed. Look at the mitzudos pasuk yitches. Yilovsu, they take hold. Hamayim hohem yoychazu orcho starkam. They take hold of their own ways. They choose their own path. What does that mean? What's a laimar? Loynoida lumi ono holchu. They don't. No one knows where they went. Verakhem levadam yodiam orcho starkam. Only they themselves know where they went. Darkam mehem. Mehem nisyavshu b'chama. Some of them have dried up in the heat. Mehem nivlu b'aretz. Some of them have been absorbed in the earth. V'chol hamayim olu b'tahu. But the common denominator is all the water is gone. Olu b'tahu mokom she'ein shem anashim, to a place where there is no human being that is available to derive benefit from the water. V'honos mehem v'areihem avudim meho anashim. So the orchos darkam is plural. The water trickles. Each body of water decides it's going to go in its own path, and the own path ends up in a place of tohu, whether it means they evaporate or they are absorbed into a hole in the ground. Vyovedu, no human being derives benefit from this water. Rav Schwab, when he explains this passage, he explains this to mean is that this is a Musar Haskel. That when you have power is in numbers. If the water, when it begins to melt on the top of the mountain, they would all join together and they would follow a derech, one derech, the right derech, then it wouldn't evaporate. It wouldn't get lost. It would go down to a place where people could derive benefit. It's the Moshe Haskell in life. Many times you have a group of people, everyone decides to do what they want, everyone goes in their own little merry way, and then what are you left with? Nothing. Everyone has nothing. Chaos. The people who go on their own way, they end up with nothing. And society does not benefit from this disunity and this this separation, this lack of community, this lack of cooperation.
And so, very interesting. The opposite of that is that the frozen water that stays up there, eventually, if it keeps on staying, you have glaciers, and they stay in the summer too. You have the ice staying solid on the mountain.
Okay, if it stays there, if the mountain,
you don't run around.
Okay,
run to your own way. You stay together. You have a.
It's a very powerful pasuk. Yilofus orchos darkam. Each person takes hold of their own path in life. It's a mashal for a human being. And what happens when every person takes hold of their own path of life and they don't join with their friends and they don't try to accomplish a common goal? The end is yalu vatohu. They all end up nowhere. They all end up in the land of make-believe, v'yovedu, and they're all lost. Now, before we go further, there's a very scary medrash, not a medrash, a Gemara Masechta Sota, that uses this pasuk in reference to Gehenim. Okay, I told you the word Yilavsu means, Yilavsu Mitsudos means they take hold. The water takes hold of its own path. It decides, it makes a decision, I'm going to go this way, I don't care about everyone else, I'm going in this pattern. However, the Gemara says Yilavsu means, let me read you the words, Amar, it's a Gemara Masechta Sota, Daf Gimel Amad Beis, Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yonasan, Kol Oise Mitzvah Achas Boilam Hazeh, Mikadam Toi Ba'olachas Lufanu Zolam Haba. Anyone that does a mitzvah in this world, when he comes to the next world, that mitzvah will embrace him. That mitzvah will not embrace him, will go in front of him, will stand in front of him and proceed before him. However, here's the scary part. The Avera will embrace him. And will envelop the person on the Yom Hadin. And the Gemara in Sota quotes this pasuk: Shneamar Yilofsu Orchos Darkam Yalu Vatohu Viovedu. A person comes to the next world. Who will greet him? His sins, his misdeeds. They will come. Yilofsu. Oh, Shalom Aleichem. They will wrap their hands. All of the sins will wrap. They will embrace who? The Orcho Starkom. Who are you? These are your decisions in life. The path that you've chosen to take in your lifetime. We're here. We've returned. We've returned
the chicken's coming home to roost.
We're here to embrace you. And let's take you somewhere. We are these sins that will embrace the man. Take you. We're going to take you to a very good place. It's called Gehenim. And the code for Gehenim in this pasuk is Tohu, the land of nothingness. The Avedu, and they will take man to his destruction. Okay, so basically, what Iavoy here is saying is, all of you, let's not lose the big picture. What's taking place? Eve is telling his friends, my friends, you're just like these bodies of water. They start out on the top of the mountain. There's great potential. There's a collection of water. It's frozen. It's ice. It's black ice. There's snow in there. And now it's the summertime. It begins to melt. Instead of coming together and being of assistance for mankind, everyone does their own little thing, and the result is a lot of nothing. Nothing, it's all results in nothing. Your friendship, there was potential in your friendship, but your friendship has turned into nothingness. Pasuk Yutes, this is a continuation, Hibitu Orchos Tema Halicho Shiva Kivu Lamo. Now Shiva and Tema are two places in the world. We're not familiar with these places are. Some place in the middle of nowhere. Some place in the middle of who knows where, in the desert. They were known in time of Chazal, Tema and Shiva, and we're describing these bodies of water. They put in the GPS coordinates on their navigation system. They decided we're going to go to Tema and Shiva. He beat to Orchos Tema. The bodies of water, they looked forward. They gazed on the path of Tema. They plugged into the navigation system. Let's travel to the land of Tema. What's in the land of Tema? Nothing of nothing. Zero zilch. Halicho Shiva. To travel to the place of Shiva, another place in the world of nothingness. Kivu Lamo. They yearned. They yearned Lamo to go there. Why? It's foolish. Why are you going there? What benefit will you be when you reach your destination? No human being will derive pleasure from this. So to you, my friends, you've plotted a path in your life. You set a course in your life that results in nothing. Your friendship has resulted in no benefit for anyone. Let's take a look at the Yutes and Mitzudos.
Shiva is some of the raiders came at the beginning of the...
That's right.
That's right. The beginning of the...
Malcha Shva, okay, that's right. Halicha Shva, that's a very good point. Right, that was a Beperet Aleph. Is it spelled it with an Aleph?
Yes.
Yes, okay, so very good. He went to it, but it seems to be a place of nothingness. Let's look at Pasuk Yutes in the Mitzudos, Hibitu, Hamayimahim, it's a continuation. These bodies of water, Hibitu Orchos Tema, Lolech Hashama, Viderech Hahilech Leshva, and they suhula atzman. Now I told you the word kav means kiv means to yearn. That is another interpretation. Over here, the Mitzvah is telling us kav means a line, a plumb line, a line. They plotted a path. They plotted a course. They set their course. V'derech ha'holich l'shvo asuhu la'atzman kav yashar l'leches b'vuini melitz. It's an expression. Laimar lo'inoda ayehem. No one knows what became of those waters. Ki'ilu holchu. It's as if they've traveled v'derech rachak mo to a very far land. L'tema to the land of Tema u'l'shvo. They've plotted a course for themselves, which is nothing as Tema and Shva. Kivu, they set out their course. Pasukov. Boshu kivatach. They are embarrassed. Kivatach. They're now, these waters are embarrassed because they've trusted in themselves. Bohu odeha. What has come upon it. Those people who are boshu kivatach. The people who trusted in this water are embarrassed. The people who had faith, they'll come into the desert, and we need not worry. We will find what to drink, because we know that on the top of the mountain there were glaciers, there was bodies of water that was ice, and it certainly melted and came down and will provide us benefit. These travelers are embarrassed that they've come to their destination and there's nothing to drink. Bo shukivotach, they had faith in these waters. Bohu odeha, this repetition. Bohu, they've come odeha to the location where they anticipate, where they thought the waters would arrive, vayechparu, but they were shamed. Vayechparu parallels the word boshu, they were shamed that the waters were not faithful, the waters did not travel to where they should have traveled, but instead they went nowhere, they disappeared, they evaporated, and they were lost. Pasuk Chaf in the Mitzudos, boshu kibotach, hinei, kol echot, any individual, asher botach lishtos mimei hanacholimohem, who hoped to drink from these waters, boshu, is embarrassed. Kasher bo lemokam hanachal, when they arrive at the destination, to the place of the valley, v'loi motzumayim. Bohu kasher bohu aleha, when they arrive at this place, hinei nechparu, v'nichlemu, two words which mean the same thing, they are ashamed. Ki ein mayim, v'kofel hadavar b'miloi shaynois, and the pasuk repeats itself with multiple words which mean the same exact thing. Okay, pasuk. Pasuk now, here's the punchline. Okay, so after we've gone through Pasuk Tezayin, Yudzayin, Yudches, Yutes, Chof, describing the waters that start off black on the top of the mountain in a state of ice, which is so powerful and so monstrous, even white snow melts away within and disappears, and when they begin to melt, they evaporate and are lost because these waters have not joined forces to flow in a normal path to assist man, but go on their own way, and therefore they're worthless. He now says, guess what, my friends? Pasuk Aleph, ki ato, now, heyisem lo. You, my three friends, are just like those bodies of water. You are those necholim. You are them. Tiru, why? And now he explains, you know why you've evaporated and you've turned into nothing? You're a bunch of cowards. Because tiru, you saw chatas, you saw terror, vatirohu. Okay, the first word tiru is a chiruk katan. That's not a chiruk, that's tiru means you saw. Not fear. The first word is to see, and the second word vatirohu means to be afraid. You saw.
Here that Eo was trying to say?
He's telling his friend. Let's just explain the passage. He's telling his friends that the reason why you've abandoned me and you're not offering me words of comfort is because you're terrified. You're terrified of what you see, and you're afraid that you should not suffer the same fate. And because you don't want to suffer the same fate, you right away say, Hashem is a tzaddik, you deserve it. Because if you commiserate with me, you're basically admitting to me that it's not fair. I want to hear other people say it's not fair. There's nothing we can do about it. We can't reverse the situation. We can't solve the problem. But at least I could have nechama of someone else in this world will agree that it's not fair. Tzara srab mchatsi nechama. Someone will, but no one wants to do that. Why? Because people are afraid that they're going to complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say that it's not fair. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will strike them down as well. So the reason why you've abandoned me, you've become like these bodies of water that have taken, have plotted a course to disappear and evaporate and not be of assistance, because if you would be of assistance, you're putting yourself in danger that Hashem will strike you down as well. Now you like the waters, because Tiru Chasas, you've seen terror. I am terror in your eyes. I'm something which the sight of me causes you to shake. Vatirohu, and you're afraid. Okay, let's look at the Mitzvot Pasuk of Aleph. Hayisem lo. He says here very powerful words. Doimim atem lahanachal hazeh. You, my friends, are just like this stream. Ki kemosha nachal bogad ba'anoshav. Just like this nachal, this stream has betrayed mankind. For holach loy bizman hachayim, and disappeared at a time of need when it's hot and people are thirsty. Asher hi hu is hamitztarech b'yoyse l'mayim. That's the time when people need the water the most. Kein atem bogadetem bi. You have betrayed me be eis tzara at a time of trouble. Eis hamitztarich l'tanchumos ha'oyhavim, at the time when I need the comfort of my beloved ones the most, you have betrayed me. Why? Why did you betray me? Because you saw tiru shachas chasas. You saw terror. Kasheri isim hashever habolai. When you saw the churban which came upon me. Tifchadu loymar ha'emes. You are terrified to say the emes. Mul hamakim baruch hu. You don't want to say the truth. You know, what's the truth? The truth, according to Eov, is I don't deserve it. You don't want to say. You're right, Eov. Eov, you're right. We commiserate with you. We mishtatif in your tzar. You don't deserve it. It's terrible. You're suffering for no reason. That is what Eov wanted to hear. But you don't want to say it. You know why? Shlo yikre lochem kimikri. It should not happen to you like what happened to me. Okay, every possible argument in the world that you can say, you cannot say, when it comes to Yisurim, can be found in Sefer Eov. He's saying over here something very powerful. People don't want to say because it's nagia them. They don't want to risk their lives. What do I have to suffer as well? Okay, pasuk chav beis. Let's do some of the Rashi. We're going to do the Rashi's. Rashi's, I don't know all the Rashi's, we'll just do the best that we can. Pasuk tezayin. Hakoydim minei kerach. Im bo aleim kerach nik motim v'nasim karm. If ice comes upon this water, nikmatim v'nasim karim. I'm not exactly sure. It seems that the water just turns into ice. It folds up and turns into ice. V'yolemu yisalam mischase hashelet shneifel al hakerach hare begida achash mischase min ha'ayin v'ein hatsame moitzi mayim lisha. So this is already one form of rebellion. Rashi is learning the pasuk a little bit deeper, that the snow disappears. One form of rebellion is that the ice swallows up the snow.
So the ice bends in like in waves, like hills and valleys. So then the snow falls in between the valleys. When you're looking for snow, you don't see the snow because it's hidden.
It's hidden in the valleys. So this is a form of rebellion, that the water has caused harm to the snow. The snow would have been a precious commodity when it would melt and flow down the mountains. But the ice has swallowed up the snow. Be'es yizorvu, loshon yitzurenu kichoyim hashemesh, to flow. I think it means to flow. When the heat of the snow of the sun shines upon the mountains, the waters begin to flow. Nitzmasu, okay, it's some French word. Kimo v'chaimetz same sun blush blush and gemara. Tzadi mis chalefes v'zayin. The tzadi can be exchanged with the zayin. Kimo tzaka zaka. So the same word is the word with zerem. He says yitzur Yitzurvu. The tzadi and the zayin can be interchanged. Yizarvu loshon v'nitzurvu ba kolponim. I'm not sure what this means. It's jumped from its place. It disappears. Yilofsu yochazu orchos darkum k'moy v'yilofes shimshon v'chein v'yechad ha'isha yilofes shechov kosoi ha'isha that she embraced her. She was embraced. Kate.
No, you talk about the reference from Ruth.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when Boaz wakes up in the middle of the night to find a woman at the foot of his bed, and he's startled. And then he grabs her hair.
Okay, so he shechov kos soy ho isha. He grabs. Okay, he grabs her. Vayilofes. Okay, Tema. Pasuk Yitzes Tema Eretz Yishmol. In the pasuk, it says that the waters have set a course to travel to the land of Tema and to the land Pasuk Yitzes. So here the waters have set a path to travel to the land of Tema, the land of Shva. Eretz Yishmol. Shina Mucha VeHamayim Negarim Sham. It's a low land. And the waters flow there. Kivu Lashem Kav Natui. A line. Dover Acher. Another interpretation. Lashem Yikavu Hamayim to gather. Yikavu Hamayim. The waters have gathered. The waters have gathered. So another interpretation. The waters have gathered to go to these two locations. And therefore they have not provided any assistance. Pasuk Chav Boshu Kibetach Bo Odeha Yivoshu Shoyseha. Who's the one that's embarrassed? The people that planned on drinking this water. They are ashamed. They had plans that they would have what to drink. And now there's nothing to drink because the waters have betrayed them. Ki batach kol ish v'ish lishtos mehem. Ki pasuk chafav ki atem hayisem lo hayisem nimshalim lo oisay nachal. Here is where he accuses his friends. From starting pasuk to Zion, he finally sums up his theme, his idea. You are like these streams. Tira, why are you like these streams? Because tira chasas, because you've seen terror. Pachad hamaka, the terror of the wound of my afflictions. Vatiru loymar ha'emes, you were afraid to say the truth. Umachnifim es bal rivi. Now these are very powerful words. This is a very powerful Rashi in the art scroll. Eov, Rabbi Eisenman, he really goes to town when this Rashi, umachnifim, you're flattering Hakadosh Baruch Hu. What?
Satan.
Not the Satan.
Who was sent to bring all these sorrows?
Hashem. The Satan is just an agent of Hashem.
No, the Satan was the one who fed Hashem.
Okay, but
try him out. So the Satan is the.
Okay, cause. But the Baal Rivi, Eov does not refer, at least not.
What does it mean, Baal Rivi?
Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's complaining against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yeah, exactly. That's
very hard to understand.
Yeah, that's what it means. You're flattering Hashem. What is a flatter? Flatter is you want someone to do you a favor. So you lie. You basically lie. You are flattery. Chanifa is I don't believe in you. I don't hold from you. I would never have anything to do with you. But the only reason why I'm so nice to you, I'm going to bring you Mashalach Manos. I'm going to say good Shabbos to you. I'm going to be kind to you. It's because I need you. I need you. You give me parnasu. You sign my check. So here he's called. It was a very powerful look to say the Yemachanif Hakadosh Baruch Hu. He was telling his friends, "You, my friends, you don't believe in Hashem. You know that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is corrupt. Chas v'shalom." That's what he's saying to his friends. And you're just mechanfim. You're saying Hashem is a tzaddik. Hashem is everything. Hashem does is just.
So that's up in curses.
Eov is telling, it's an extremely powerful Rashi. Again, Rabbi Eisenman, he loves this Rashi. He picks up this Rashi and he says, this is the Yisoid, powerful Yisoid to understand the entire parak. Eov is telling his friends, you're a bunch of fakers. You don't really believe in Hashem. And your entire speech is only being said out of fear that you should not suffer the same fate as me. And therefore, you know that I'm right. You know that this world is corrupt, and there's less din v'less dayan. That's what he's saying. And the only reason why you gave me this speech, that Eov Hashem is a tzaddik, and you should enjoy this, and it's all for your good, all for your benefit. You're just flattering Hashem, because if you're not going to say the party line, then you're going to get the same. You're going to get the same punishment.
Why can't you say that? When Hashem said, "Look at my Eved, Avdi Eov, how good he is."
Yeah.
And the son says, test him.
Yeah.
So he tested him. He said, "You see, he's still good."
A satan is not an independent agent. The satan is there's not an independent contractor.
He can't do it. Satan can't do it, but he can sick.
You don't. Okay, I hear what you're saying, but you don't see that.
He's the one who's causing the fight.
That's a very big.
It's very hard to say this.
Baal Rivi means the one that I'm complaining against. Who is Eve complaining against? Hashem.
Right.
He's not complaining against the Satan. The Satan is just an instrument of Hashem.
It's a horrible thing.
Okay, these words, let's not forget these words, because umachnifim es Baal Rivi. The word mechanif is an extremely powerful word. Rashi chose that word here to bring out the essence of what Eov is how he is responding to his friends. Okay, we'll stop here with Pasuk Chof Beis.